Hi, everyone. My name is Alex Torpy, your host of the Upper Valley Vibes podcast. As we get this whole thing going, I wanted to share a little bit about my goals for it and first share a little bit about my background. So if we haven't met, or even if we have, you all can get to know a little bit about where I'm coming from, the kinds of things I'm thinking about, and how that will inform the perspective that will be a part of this podcast. So I moved to the Upper Valley about 2 years ago in 2022 to take the position of town manager in Hanover, New Hampshire, which as of July 2024, when I'm recording this, I am just about wrapping up. Now, outside of the four-month cross-country road trip I took in 2021, where I mostly camped out in national forest land across the U.S., I had been slowly moving to more and more rural parts of New Jersey, where I'm from, where I could have access to some land, live more in nature, learn and practice more self-sufficiency, see the stars at night, and take motorcycle trips on windy back roads without getting stuck in traffic on the way back. You know, all of the important things in life. And although I went to Hampshire College in Western Massachusetts way back in the early 2000s, and please don't hold that against me if you're from the New Hampshire side of the Upper Valley, it was about 10 years ago that I was inspired in large part by Bill Bryson's book, A Walk in the Woods, to take what turned out to be a really awesome camping trip up the coast of Maine that also ended up taking me through New Hampshire and Vermont. And since spending that time having campfires deep in the New England woods with the stars hanging overhead and exploring a few small towns and chatting with friendly folks at diners and country stores over a warm breakfast, I really have had my heart set on moving up to a good-sized piece of land in New England to live amidst our ancient green mountains and fertile soils, clear waters, regrowing forests, endless hiking trails and fishing spots, and generally to live with other people who would rather spend a moment catching up with their fellow neighbor who is checking them out at the local co-op rather than speed through everything because everyone was in a rush. And I think what I mean by that is really people who more so share a set of values and goals that Robert Persig in Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance might describe as asking what's good, not what's next. Back to the work side. For about the last 15 years, I have worked mostly in and around local government. I got passionate about being more involved towards the end of high school for a bunch of reasons that are longer stories, but that interest really grew when I went to college. And after that, I moved back to my hometown, South Orange, New Jersey, and ended up, I joined our public library board and became an emergency medical technician and started volunteering on our rescue squad. And I started attending and getting involved in whatever town committee would have me, and maybe a few that wouldn't. So a year or so later, I ended up running for mayor. And by some incredible luck and a little hard work, we won that election in the unprecedented, record-breaking landslide of 12 votes when I was 23 years old. Now, that four-year term was an amazing experience, getting to learn about and accomplish real change and impact in the town that had given me so much growing up there. We saved our performing arts center that has really become an economic and cultural landmark, especially for a town with so much artistic dynamics. We landed the operators of a corrupt water utility in prison. Through years of civil and criminal investigations, we built more sustainable and affordable housing right around our public transportation and train stations. We lowered our crime, enhanced historic preservation efforts, paid down our debt, and changed our civic scene to make things much more inclusive and participatory for people in town, and all with the lowest tax increases in over a decade. And as a student of politics and government and all the competing philosophies and ideas about governance, getting to participate in something like that so directly, especially at such a young age, was frankly a dream. Once we dialed in a few things like leaving egos and party politics to the wayside, I mean, we just had an amazing team of elected officials, appointed officials, volunteers, employees, residents in town and stakeholders who were all working pretty well together. And I really couldn't believe the amount of stuff that we were actually able to get done in that time period. And I think that whole experience cemented in me the belief that if you can get a few things to add up right, the local level is really the place where you can make a positive difference in people's lives. And I feel really lucky to live in a society that so many sacrifice for, that gives someone without any party affiliation or anything like that, that kind of access to decision making. It's incredibly fortunate, and throughout history and even in the world today, still pretty rare. But even more so in New England, where, of course, we don't just elect people to make decisions, but in many places, we actually make the decisions directly as our town's legislative body. And working in a town with a traditional town meeting form of government was actually a requirement of mine when I was looking at town manager jobs. And it's been really interesting learning more about that over the last couple of years. And a side note is actually a bunch of town managers and other officials. We worked with some organizations like the New Hampshire Municipal Association and state officials to put together a free nonpartisan handbook that can help local officials or citizens to engage more people and get more turnout and participation at town meeting. There's a bunch of examples of things that other people have tried, some of which are actually not that hard to do and pretty low cost. So if you're curious about that in your community, something we struggle with in a lot of communities throughout New England, check that out, and I'll put a link to that free PDF in the show notes. So anyway, while I was in office in South Orange, I also finished my master's degree from John Jay College of Criminal Justice, which is the natural next step for anybody who went to Hampshire College, of course. And then I started teaching in a Master of Public Administration program in 2013 at Seton Hall. Now, being the mayor was about a 30 to 35 hour a week job on average that, of course, paid a grand total of $0 a year. And so to pay the bills outside of that, I was a partner at the consulting company that I founded in 2009. And that started largely with me building websites. And by 2015, when myself and one of the other three partners sold it, we had almost 10 people working for us in an office in DC and had worked with dozens and dozens of clients, mostly anti-establishment political candidates on all sides of the political spectrum and all levels of office, and nonprofits and companies around the world, helping them tell their stories and engage their audiences towards whatever their most important goals were. And what drives a lot of what I've worked on and studied is trying to understand as best as possible how people and then groups and then communities and ultimately societies come together to make decisions. What are all the factors that influence how we each see the world, how we consume new information, how we decide what to believe, and importantly, how we talk to each other and weigh the options and then ultimately make decisions about things that affect all of us for generations to come. A lot of my past work is not about a single particular issue, though there are a few that I especially care about, but it's more about understanding how our brains work and finding ways to improve the process of what happens when many brains get together to make decisions as groups so that they can develop and accomplish goals that they set for themselves, not that someone else is setting for them. And trying to explore all of that is going to be a theme throughout the conversations on this podcast. So over the last couple years in Hanover, we've worked on a range of issues, such as how to make housing more affordable, how to share services and use technology better to lower the cost of providing them, how to better support our small local businesses operating in our downtown, how to conserve more land and maintain it better, how to value and retain and bring new employees into working in government, and so much more. But working on all of those kinds of issues, in my opinion, requires that you really try to inform and engage people in the community so they are aware of and can participate in those decisions being made. And one of the ways that we did that was that I started a podcast in Hanover called Hanover Happenings, where we shared updates of what we were working on and talking about in select board meetings. And importantly, we shared stories of employees and community members and stakeholders who had interesting stories to tell and were in some way or another involved in things happening. So for example, we talked to our 911 dispatchers in Hanover, Hanover Police dispatches for about 20 towns in the Upper Valley, and we learn about the technology they use and how that's changed over the years, what their day-to-day is like, some of the challenges they face in their jobs. Really, really interesting. We talk to Sian Bylock, the new president of Dartmouth College. We talk about mental health on college campuses, sustainability, and really importantly, Dartmouth's role in Hanover and the broader Upper Valley community, especially as it relates to housing, which is something that has moved on to a really great track in the last year or so. We talked to Rob Gerwitt, the founder and publisher of the Daybreak email newsletter, which, if you don't get it, is probably one of the best ways to stay up to date on things that are happening in the Upper Valley. And we talk about how Daybreak came together, how Rob puts together the different articles that show up in it, how to build trust, what journalism is in the 2020s, so much more. We also sat down with the New Hampshire and Vermont Secretaries of State and talked about secure and fair elections, building civic engagement in communities, and with one Democrat and one Republican official, a lot of the things that we talked about were actually areas where most of us agree, which is pretty cool. And I got so much positive feedback about the podcast from people in the community. I mean, we had something like almost 10,000 listens and views and over the 2 years. And honestly, I feel sort of stupid for not thinking of doing that earlier in other towns I've worked in, but better late than never. And for a government, a podcast in 2020s is still pretty cutting edge and innovative. So earlier this year, I made the decision to move back to a more flexible and project-based lifestyle, predominantly doing consulting and some teaching for a bunch of reasons. And for example, beyond the exciting work opportunities that are going to enable a bunch of us who care about these things to come together and create some free resources to help improve civics and how people engage with issues at the local level around the Upper Valley, as well as offer paid consulting and technical advising for towns and nonprofits to help them solve some of the challenges they face. Beyond that, it's giving me more time to write the science fiction books that I started a couple years ago, to build out my own house to live in, and spending time with the people and the things and a way of living that are the most meaningful for me and just most closely align with my values and goals of how to live. But I also really wanted to continue telling stories of interesting people who often play vital roles in our communities but aren't always known. So on this podcast, I'll be talking a little bit about issues happening around the Upper Valley and sharing some of the stories of those playing some sort of role in all of that. From the small business owner who gives back to their community, the nonprofit that provides services in a rural area, the community group that led restoration efforts after a storm, or maybe the family that's passing down land stewardship values through multi-generations, to just the random person who lives around here who's done something interesting or cool in their lives that others might enjoy hearing about. But I want to be upfront. Like everyone and everything, I do have an agenda. And that agenda is not doing this just for pure fun or entertainment, but to spotlight and thank those people who are doing great things in our communities, to provide inspiration and ideas for others who might want to get more involved, and generally to add some positive contributions to the way that we all think about where we live and how we live locally. I plan to release about one episode a month, slightly longer form, probably about an hour or so for each episode, with hopefully meaningful and deep and authentic conversations with people. The goal is going to be quality over quantity. So if you know someone who's doing something interesting or have any ideas, please send them my way at alex@rethinklocal.us. It's been amazing getting to know so many new people over the last couple of years, and I can't wait to meet more and learn more about what is happening around the Upper Valley. So I appreciate you joining to hear this introductory episode, learning a little bit about my background and some of the perspectives that I'll be bringing to this podcast. And I thank you for being engaged in what's happening in your community and look forward to seeing all of you out around the Upper Valley.